We started this lesson in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, from verse 10 through verse about 19. And 3 weeks after, we are still referring to that passage because that passage forms the foundation, the basis of this lesson. Why? Because in that passage, the Almighty God had revealed truth to Jacob, who would become Israel. In that passage, the Almighty God was prophesying, informing, telling not only Jacob, but succeeding generation, and especially us, about Jesus Christ and his body, the church. In that passage, the Almighty God let Jacob understand that the church would be so important, because you see, at the time Jacob got that vision, the church did not exist. But God was explaining in that vision to Jacob that the church, the house of God, would be so important, it would play the part of that which men and women have to enter if they are going to go to heaven. Hence, the gate of heaven. So today, we pick up on that series of lessons. And I pick up by saying this, that every one of us here and the entire world, not just the 3 or so million people who live in Jamaica, but the millions of people who are scattered over the world, we all have a future in eternity. I don't know if town people do, but country people usually talk about future. You know, boy, you must conduct yourselves to give yourself a good future. Well, all of us have a future in eternity. And that begins over the other side of death. That when you die, you are not going to come back to time again. Think of it. When they attend your funeral and my funeral, they remain in that coffin, casket, whatever, will not come back to life in time. We will come back to life in eternity. That's right. So we all have a future in eternity. Those of us who have responded to Jesus' invitation of love, that is, those of us who acknowledge that we have offended God, we have sinned, and we come to Christ for forgiveness and to live for him. The Almighty God is fixing us up for eternity. Brother Mitchell, could you put that another way? Thank you for asking me. The Almighty God is preparing us for beyond the grave. You know what? And he's doing that in the church. Nowhere else. But Brother Mitchell, I think that God, since God is the originator of civil authority, which we call government, I think that God is preparing us for eternity through the government. No, sir. While they play their part, government, any civil authority, in bringing order to society, in preparing us for life after death, it's taking place only in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Are we all there? Now, all the things you are going to do to please God, and you need to get this right, all the things you are going to do to please God, it will not be acceptable to Him if you withhold yourself from God or part of yourself. Mr. Mitchell, I don't understand that. Now and again, when I get some money, I feel I should give the church some, or I should do some good. Yes, all that is good. But in the end, it will profit you nothing if you do not first give yourself to Jesus Christ. Every gift to God is vain and worthless if it does not flow first from self-giving. All that you give to God, self-giving, must come first. Because that is in keeping with God's nature. You see, God never is not the type of God where we bribe Him with things and at the same time keep away ourselves. Self-giving must be the first gift to God. And that is part of the reason that to be ready for heaven, to be ready for eternity. Remember, the Almighty God said to the prophet, set thine house in order because you are going to die. There's another message God says, prepare to meet thy God. All this setting house in order and all this preparation must take place in the church. To enter or be ready for heaven, you must. If you're going to be ready God's way, and that's the only way to be ready for heaven, you must be justified. Are we there? You must be sanctified. Are we there? Spots. That is a figure of speech, sort of a metaphor for sin. Spots wrinkles. There are some other, let me put etc. Must be dealt with. That is, you must be justified. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? There is no way you can have a peaceful eternity. There is no way you can have a right relationship with God now if you do not give Jesus Christ the chance to justify you. If you do not work with him so that he sanctify you, if you do not give him the chance to remove sin described as spot, sin described as wrinkles, this must be done. You know what? All of this is being done in the church. Nowhere else. Let us run to the passage of Ephesians chapter 5. And at this time we are going to pick up at verse 25. Hold it, brother. Let us hear the passage.
Husbands,
love your wives,
even as Christ also loved the church.
The same way Jesus Christ loves the church,
and gave himself for it. That he might sanctify. And cleanse it. With the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot. Or wrinkle. Or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish.
Read on.
So ought men to love their wives. As their own bodies. That he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
Read on.
For we are members of his body.
I want members and the visitors to absorb this. Notice, we are members of the body of Christ. But watch here, he's not finished with it.
We are members of his body. Of his flesh.
Of Jesus' flesh.
And of his bones.
We who, Brother Mitchell, the Christian. When a man or woman respond to Jesus Christ in obedience, faith, repentance, get baptized with a resolve to live right, you become a part of Jesus' body. But it don't stop there. Of Jesus' flesh, it don't stop there. Of Jesus' bones. Everybody gets it? Read on.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
Wait, hold it, brother. May I get your attention? Brother Mitchell, the man Paul who write it, him talk about husband and wife and him talk about Christ's body. I'm confused. Listen him. Read on.
This is a great mystery.
Of course.
But I speak concerning Christ and the church.
You get the point? He said, all I'm saying, when me bring in about wife and husband, me just bring them in as illustration, is Jesus Christ and the church me talk about. In the old text from verse 25, the lesson, the message, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ and the church. So Paul acknowledged that you'll be there wondering. It's like he's talking about this, he's talking about that. And that's why he said, if you find it a mystery, let me help clarify things. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and the church. Are we all there? Now, brother, let us go back to verse 26. No, you have started at 25, but let me hear 26.
That he might sanctify.
Wait. Brothers and sisters, remember what I said. That those of us who have responded to Jesus Christ. May I? When you or I come to Jesus Christ, I'm living a disobedient and godly life out there, and I heard the gospel, and my common sense and my intelligence tell me the right thing to do is to give my life to Jesus Christ in obedience. And you did that. And the things, among the things that you had to do because Christ commanded it, is that you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. And you did that. But watch here. When you get baptized, Christianity doesn't end there. That's where it begins. God doesn't finish with you, that's all. That's where he's going to start his work. But in order to work on you to get you ready for eternity, he had to get you at his hospital. I use hospital as a metaphor referring to the church. The Bible refers to the church as the gate of heaven. God had to get you there. Why? Because you must enter the gate if you are going to enter heaven. You must go through the gate because it's by entering the gate. Let us have the passage, brother. You may start at 25.
Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify.
Wait, take time with me. That he might
sanctify.
Wait. Get this. Sanctification is both instantaneous and progressive. Brother Mitchell, explain that. Thank you for asking. The very moment you get baptized, having gotten the proper teaching, because your baptism cannot be right if the teaching you get leading up to baptism is not right. So once you get the proper teaching, that very moment you get baptized, you are sanctified. It is instantaneous. But as many passages in the gospel will point out, not only is sanctification instantaneous, it is also progressive or ongoing. That means it is a continuous process. Sanctification. What does the word mean, Brother Mitchell? It means to be set apart. Brother Mitchell further explain it. It means that daily, as you live and become more Christ-like in your thoughts, in your words, the Almighty God is setting you apart from the rest of humanity. Not physically. You are still going to go about your business and mix with people, but their thinking is not your thinking. Their ways is not your ways. Their value is not your value. Their priority is not your priority. You are a child of God, and as you submit your life to Christ and you let the medicine of Jesus Christ, what is that, Brother Mitchell? The word of the gospel, as it work in you, you are being daily sanctified. The word sanctified means to set apart as God's vessel. As long as you live. Brother Mitchell, I would like to live 150 years on this earth. That's okay. For that 150 years, Jesus Christ will be daily, momently, making you into a more Christ-like character. But the only place that is not going to be done at the elementary school you go, it's not going to be done at the university or high school you go. Wait, it's not even going to be done in the home. While if you live in a Christian home, that will be contributing to your sanctification. But you know the one place Jesus Christ is doing it? In his church. The different doctors, and even the doctors who work in the public sector, the government, when they have to do surgery, they have special place. Yeah. That's right. Special. They cannot carry out surgery just any and any place. Is sister being in the audience, brother? Well, she will say amen to that if you won't say amen. They cannot carry out surgery just any and any place. Well, get this now. Jesus Christ cannot carry out his work of sanctification just any and any place. It has to be done in his church. The passage again, brother.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing
of water. It what?
With the washing of water.
Wait. Pick up at the end of 25 again.
Even as Christ also loved the church.
Loved the what?
The church.
The what?
The church.
The what?
The church.
The what?
Church.
Church. That he might?
That he might sanctify?
It, the church. You get it? It's the church that is being sanctified. So if you want to be sanctified, you must get yourself in the church.
Amen.
You see? But it's not only sanctification he's doing to it. Read on.
And cleanse it.
Wait. But Brother Mitchell, I thought when we get baptized, we were cleansed. Yes. All your past sins are removed, gotten rid of when you got baptized. But what about the sins you have committed after you got baptized? Wrong thoughts, huh? Wrong attitude, wrong word, wrong conduct that you most likely didn't want to think that thought, conduct yourself, but it happened. That's sin. Since he got rid of all your past sin, what about these sins? Oh, Lord. I didn't want to go to, but let us find John. 1 John, I think it is chapter 1, and I think it is verse 7. Let us hear it.
But if we walk in the light.
If we walk in the light. Wait. You know, brother, that is referring to the church and the word. That means you must be a faithful Christian walking in the light. Read on.
As he is in the light.
Just like Jesus Christ is in the light. Read on.
We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son.
Wait. So almost every week, I promise myself, I need to have a message and this fellowship one with another. Fellowship. Brother Mitchell, what the word fellowship mean? Joint participation. Joint participation. Christian, you cannot have a wrong concept of the church and stand right before God. Are we all there? You must be an integral part of the working of any local congregation that you identify yourself with. There are people, not just here, there are people who just, they drop in to make sure they take the communion. Or they will drop in to make sure they get a chance to drop their offering. But they are as detached from the local congregation as the tree is from me. And you know what? In their mind, they are faithful Christian. Let me hear that little part again, brother.
But if we walk in the light.
Walk in the light.
As he is in the light.
As Christ is in the light.
We have fellowship. One with another.
We have fellowship. That fellowship, that joint participation with one another is an imperative part of Christianity.
Amen.
But Brother Mitchell, you leave the church now and I preach on that. Thank you for reminding me. I'll get back to that in a lesson in some weeks to come. Fellowshipping with one another. Mm-hmm. So you have something else in that verse 7, and his blood does what?
The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Brother McFarlane, the word cleanseth mean continues to cleanse us. Amen. The cleansing is ongoing. We get it? Thank God. But do you know where that takes place? You have to be in the body of Christ, the house of God, the church, the gate of heaven. That's why it is the gate of heaven. Because you have to enter that gate for Christ to start working on you in preparing you for heaven. That cleansing that we need what we must have if we're going to stand right before God on the other side of death. That cleansing takes place only in the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Sanctified. But not only sanctified, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, 26.
Husbands, love your wives.
Of Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
That he might sanctify
and
cleanse it.
Cleanse it. Cleanse it. The church. Read on.
With the washing of water.
That is referring to baptism. Read on.
By the word.
You notice the word? You notice baptism, the washing of water. Read on. But Brother Mitchell, I thought it was the blood of Christ cleansed us. Yes, you are right. But do you know what? You cannot get under the influence of the blood without water. That's baptism. Read on, by the word.
That he might present it to himself. A glorious church.
Watch here now.
Not having spot.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, what does it mean, spot? As I said, it is a metaphor for sin. It's using some words here that describe the various sins. And Christ have to deal with them. But do you know what? You must be in his church. Read that little part again.
That he might present it to himself.
A glorious church, not having
spot.
Spot. Christ wants to get rid of the spots.
Amen.
That's sin. Read.
Or wrinkle.
Wait. Oh my God. The amount of money people spend at the beautician and other place to get rid of wrinkles. Now let me tell you, Jesus Christ is in the business of getting rid of wrinkles. But this wrinkle is not biological wrinkle. This wrinkle is not a physical wrinkle. This wrinkle is sin. And Christ is working on those sins described as wrinkle. And the one place it's being done, it's in the church. That's why the church is the gate of heaven. Christ has to work on you once you get in the gate. You are where he wants you, that he can start preparing you. Getting rid of the wrinkles?
Or any such thing.
Or any such thing. Read on.
But that it should be holy.
It should be holy. Wait here again. You have the word holy means set apart. It's the same word sanctify, you know. That's right. That we must, we live in the world, but we are not a part of the world. Our values, our moral and ethical standard is not that of the world. It cannot be that we let the ungodly set example for us. Read on.
And without blemish.
Without what, brother?
Blemish.
Blemish. That's sin, you know, that's sin. But Christ's ultimate goal for us is day by day we become less sinful.
Amen.
And more Christ-like. Read on.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife
loveth
himself.
For
no man ever yet hateth his own flesh.
That's right.
But nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body.
We are members of the body of Christ. What is that, Brother Mitchell? The church.
Of his flesh. and of his bones.
Uh-huh.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother,
uh-huh,
and shall be joined unto his wife.
Again, I remind you how he keeps bringing in wife and husband.
Amen.
Just as an illustration about Jesus Christ. Because as you have read with me, we are a little further down. He's going to acknowledge that this is a mystery. But he said, I'm talking about Jesus Christ and the church.
Amen.
But back to the point about what Jesus Christ is doing now for us. And he's doing it in the church. Here's another relevant passage that comes in here. And if my memory serves, it's found in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, and verse 19. Let us hear that passage.
My little children. Of whom I travail in birth again unto Christ.
Wait. Here again the man is using figure speech. Paul said, of whom I travail in
birth again.
Birth again, that is birth pain. He called them children. He said, I am going through the pain that a mother goes through when she brings forth a child.
Amen.
But all that is figure of speech, you know, watch here. You know. wait, Bob, why are you doing all of that? Take time with me. Why are you going through that pain for the Christian, Paul? He said, I am going through it . So he said, brother.
Amen.
You can read it.
Until Christ be formed in you.
Watch and forget when I go say. No, I just want that to soak in. Brother Mitchell, I thought when we get baptized, Christ was formed in us. You notice the figure that he used? He said, I am going through birth pain for you. May I? And the idea he gives you here is that he will continue going through this birth pain until certain goal or objective is achieved. That goal or objective is that Jesus Christ be formed in you, the Christian. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Until you become the Christ-like person you are to become. And the idea he gives you here is that it is an ongoing process. Huh? While it is instantaneous, it also goes on. Until Jesus Christ be formed in you. Paul is implying that I will continue feeling this pain, this suffering and whatever until you become the Christ-like person you are to become. Brothers and sisters, the one place that is possible is in the church. That's why the church is the gate of heaven. You have to enter there for Jesus Christ to start working on you and carry out the rehabilitation to get you ready for heaven.
Amen.
Brother Mitchell, what the word justified means? It's used in the Bible means to make you righteous. To make you righteous. The word justified and the word righteous is from the same Greek word. And all of that is being done in the church.
But ladies and gentlemen, can we look a little more on the church for today? Just a little more. Remember, I pointed out that one must first become God's son or daughter. One must first become God's servant spiritually. One must be a part of God's household before you can offer acceptable worship, service, and sacrifice to God. I need to repeat that. In the meantime, turn to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. Brother Mitchell, could you repeat that? Yes, I plan to. Every man, every woman who is ever going to stand right, holy, cleansed in the eyes of the Almighty God, you must, before you can give God acceptable worship, you must, before you can give Jesus Christ acceptable service, you must, before you can give Jesus Christ acceptable sacrifice, you must become his sons or daughter or his servant. You must. Look at the passage of Acts 27 and verse 23. Acts 27 and verse 23.
For there stood by me this night.
I want you to notice just a simple statement the apostle is making. He said, there stood by me this night.
The angel of God.
Watch here. The angel of God. Read now.
Whose I am and whom I serve. Saying,
wait, now take time with me, brother. Whose I am
and whom I serve.
I serve. You see what I see? You see what I see? Well, let me tell you what I see. I have just made the statement that a person, in order to give God service, worship, sacrifice that is acceptable to him, that worship, that service, that sacrifice cannot be given to God and him accept it if you are not first a son or a daughter or a servant of his. In the passage the brother has just read, Acts chapter, is it 27, 23? Yeah. The order is not accident. Notice whose I am. Take time with me there. Which means I belong to him and whom I serve. You must first belong to him before you can serve him. So the order, as Paul put it, you cannot have whom I serve and then to whom I belong. It must be that you first belong to him before you can give him service. And that's the way it is. It's no accident that it is worded like that. The order is in keeping with God's will. You have to first be his before you can serve him. Look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8, verse 5. And the same principle. 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 5. Let us hear it.
And this they did.
And this they did.
Not as we hoped.
Not as we hoped.
But first gave their own selves.
What they did first?
Gave their own selves.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother. What they did?
Gave their own selves.
No, you leave out a word. What they did?
Gave, but first.
Okay, okay, okay. Brother, please leave out a little word first. You see. Because, you see, brother, if they did not first give themselves whatever they give to God, it would not be accepted. You get the point? First gave themselves. That always. You know, I keep over the past few weeks point out, God wants you before he wants yours.
Amen.
The first gave themselves. May I give you another one on the same principle? Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1.
I beseech you, therefore.
I beg you, therefore.
Brethren.
Uh-huh.
By the mercies of God.
By the mercies of God.
That ye present your bodies.
Uh-huh.
A living sacrifice. Holy.
Wait. Are we all there? If we do not first give our selves as a living sacrifice, all the other sacrifice you give will be in vain. That you present your body, it is sacrifice to Christ and his service. That must be given first. Before all the other things that you're going to give, worship, praise, sacrifices, you must first give yourself as sacrifice. Are we all there? Look at Mark 8:34. Let us hear it.
And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross.
You notice that, brother? Again, Jesus Christ is saying, if you are going to follow me, the first thing you must do is self-denial.
Amen.
Are we all there? You see, you cannot enthrone self and be a follower of Christ. Self-interest must be put behind and Christ's interest be put first. You cannot come to God giving him all your money and all your house and land if you do not first give him yourself. And all of that, when you give yourself to Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, Jesus Christ place you in his body, his church, his house, and that's where he begin to carry out all these work of holiness. That's where he's going to make you just or holy. That's where he's going to set you apart daily. That's where he's going to remove spot and blemishes and wrinkles. All those words are referring to sins. We'll have to stop here. There's a whole catalog of passages. And I must share this. There is at least two more lessons. One of the great lessons. Have your invitation ready, brother. One of the great lessons coming up in the series is where the church is God or Christ's city of refuge. You don't want a city of refuge. Another great lesson coming up in the series about the church, which is the gate of heaven, is where the Bible tells us that when you come to Jesus Christ, when you come to his church, not only come to the spiritual United Nation, but you come to an innumerable company of angels. You can't count them. They are your friend and company, you know. But they are your friend and company when you become a Christian. When you come to the church. Don't miss out any of these lessons. And next week, I must go down these passages showing that the Bible makes it plain that you cannot glorify God except it be done in the church. The Bible makes it plain you cannot sing praise to God and it is acceptable if it's not done in the church. Don't miss next week's lesson and bring someone with you. Right now, of course, you have heard enough to become a child of God. Throughout this lesson today, I've been pointing out that in order to become a child of God, to get in the church where Jesus Christ can begin his work on you, getting you ready for eternity, you must hear his word, believe, repent of your sin, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the removal of sin. We pointed out to you that the water itself does not remove sin, but that for Christ, he has set the water that you must get in baptism in order to get under the influence of his blood. You can do that today, right now. As we stand and sing, you can respond to Jesus Christ in faith if you'd like to serve him. And we are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand. 288.